Elizabeth Elliot knew what it is to suffer. Her first husband was murdered, and her second died of cancer. Yet she could look back and see how God used these situations for good.
The deepest things that I have learned in my own life have come from the deepest suffering. And out of the deepest waters and the hottest fires have come the deepest things that I know about God.
This is Revive Our Hearts with Nancy Lee DeMoss. Today, we remember Elizabeth Elliot. Elizabeth Elliot had a huge effect through her amazing story. In the 1950s, this widow forgave the people who had murdered her husband and shared the gospel with them. After that experience in Ecuador, Elizabeth continued serving the Lord, writing books and starting the radio program, Gateway to Joy. Today we'll hear about some of the ways the Lord used Elizabeth's thoughts and writing to disciple so many who followed her in the faith. We'll hear from Nancy Lee DeMoss in a few minutes, but first, we want to hear from various evangelical leaders about the way Elizabeth Elliot affected them. Let's start with Kay Arthur.
Elizabeth Elliot, I pray that women will remember that name. I pray that women will look for her books and they will continue to read them. Elizabeth was a dear friend. And I remember walking into her house, and I remember looking at the verse from Genesis about God's creation, and sitting there and having tea with Elizabeth. You talk about a woman that was consecrated, that is consecrated to the Lord. You talk about a woman who is like Joshua of old, strong and courageous, observing to do all that God has commanded her. That's the testimony of her life. Don't forget her. She's one of the heroes of the faith.
Elizabeth Elliot has been a great influence in my life.
This is Janie Ortland.
From the time when I first started dating Ray, way back in the 60s, her book, Let Me Be a Woman, was very influential. I have always appreciated Elizabeth Elliot's stand on the word, her call to faithfulness, no matter what the cost, because Jesus is worth it. Not only has she taught it, but she's lived it. And so her life has been an example of calling back to me what it looks like. She's gone down that pathway a little bit further. She's ahead of me. I feel as if she looks back and says, come on, Janie, it's beautiful up here. You can make it. So she's a great role model for me. I also have greatly benefited from her biography of Amy Carmichael, A Chance to Die. There are not many women in the world today who will call us to die to ourselves. Elizabeth, Nancy, we thank them for that call, and we want to heed it and follow it.
Here's Janet Parshall.
Elizabeth Elliot has been such an influence in my life. I grew up in the shadow of one of the New Tribes Bible Institute schools, and I remember as a child, one of the books in our family bookcase was God Planted Five Seeds. And I remember hearing the story of Elizabeth Elliot and Jim and what they did, and even in a young age, and this is so true, in fact, it moves me to tears now, because I came to know the Lord when I was 6, but I dedicated my life to the Lord when I was 14. And I remember Jim's story, and I remember saying, Janet, are you gonna count the cost? Look at the price that Jim paid. Look at the price that Elizabeth has paid. Would you be willing to pay that price? So they were standard bearers.
Here's Jennifer Rothschild.
I'm so appreciative of Elizabeth Elliot because as a woman in ministry, though I never have met her personally, she has been a far-off mentor to me. And though I have read most of her books, the one book that impacted me the most is called These Strange Ashes. I found it at a used bookstore on audio cassette tape, and she read it herself. And I remember listening to her voice as she told her story of that, I believe it was just a year that she was there in the jungle before she married her husband. And she was just real honest. She was real honest about the struggle she was having, just being a little disappointed with other coworkers, being a little disappointed with herself, struggling with some maybe even disappointment toward God. And listening to that woman of God tell her story, and of course with such beautiful, eloquent language, has always been an encouragement to me. It is the rattiest, most torn up cassette case, and I will treasure it until my dying day, because Elizabeth Elliot, a woman of faith, a woman of integrity, a woman of consistency, has encouraged me to follow behind her in ministry and to be a woman of faith, a woman of consistency, and a woman of integrity. And I will always be grateful for her.
I have listened and read Elizabeth Elliot when I first became a Christian.
This is author Trillia Newbell.
Most of us wouldn't be here if it weren't for Elizabeth's desire to hold up the scriptures and walk in a manner that's worthy of the gospel. So we are just thankful.
We continue to remember the life of Elizabeth Elliot with Mary Cassian.
Elizabeth Elliot was a massive influence in my life. She really affected my thinking. And I remember actually hearing Elizabeth Elliot on the radio, writing down the quote, what she said, pasting it in my office, and it hung there for 10 years, I bet, this little quote. And the particular quote that I had was that it is always possible to be thankful for what is given rather than resentful over what is withheld. One or the other becomes a way of life. So just cultivating an attitude of gratitude. And that impacted me just in how I live my life every day. And it's funny because at one point in time, I had a chance to meet with Elizabeth Elliot and I told her that. And she said, I don't even remember saying that. She could not remember it. It was just something that came out of her mouth spontaneously and yet had such an impact in the life of a young woman. And it was amazing. And I'm so grateful for it.
Here's Aaron Davis.
Elizabeth Elliot had a huge impact on me. My mentor, who's Dana Gresh, who's another true women speaker, she was my mentor when I was in high school, and I was in a dating relationship, and Dana gave me the book Passion and Purity, and I think just like for so many people, it really awakened my eyes to what is purity, and just like the title says, it made me passionate about it. So I ended up marrying that guy, and so it certainly has impacted our marriage, and I've probably passed out 30 copies of that book to young women who are just in dating relationships and trying to understand what purity means to the Lord and how to walk it out. So she's had a huge impact on me.
When I think of Elizabeth Elliot, I think of a woman who trusted her God no matter what.
This is Fern Nichols.
There have been trials in her life. There have been obstacles. But through each one, she has looked up and has seen her sovereign God sitting on the throne. And she did not give up. I am so grateful for this woman who I believe said as Mary, I'm your handmaiden, be it unto me what you want in my life. And she is teaching us and has taught us how to run the race with perseverance and with faith and joy and not to give up. I'm very grateful for this woman who has left and is leaving a wonderful legacy of faith. Her books, the radio program that she had, has really allowed women to know their beautiful place in the body of Christ.
Here's author Carolyn McCulley.
The thing that's impressed me over the years, especially in a generation that loves to kind of nurse its wounds and talk about its wounds all the time and the hurts and the disappointments, was her no-nonsense attitude of, get over it, but not in a bad way, but in the sense of, you can trust God even in the midst of great disappointment and great hurt. to bring good out of a situation. And that can only really be said by somebody who's walked through the great disappointments and the great injustices that she endured. And I think that's a helpful voice in this culture, which loves to just look at all of its wounds and hurts and say, but this defines me. And she would say, no, that doesn't define you at all. What defines you is your relationship with Jesus. And she never stopped beating that drum.
Well, we've been hearing from several leaders about the influence of Elizabeth Elliot in their lives. The host of Revive Our Hearts, Nancy Lee DeMoss, has been reflecting on Elizabeth's influence as well.
Those who listen to Gateway to Joy will remember that Elizabeth used to open virtually every program with these words. She would say, "You are loved with an everlasting love." That's what the Bible says. "And underneath are the everlasting arms. This is your friend, Elizabeth Elliot." And then she would go on to tell what that day's program would be about. And I think that signature at the top of each of her programs became such a connecting point, a significant point for women. And as I think about Elizabeth Elliot's life and influence, isn't that a great way to summarize it? Our friend, Elizabeth Elliot, and we thought of her as our friend. She thought of us as her friends. She reminded us day after day after day that we are loved with an everlasting love, and underneath are the everlasting arms. Now, that's a scripture verse that comes from the book of Deuteronomy. So she kept pointing us back to the scripture, and she kept pointing us back to the love of God, which is enough to sustain us and carry us through every situation, every season, every circumstance of life. I don't think I'll ever forget the day that I received a letter from the director of Back to the Bible, the ministry that had been the umbrella ministry for Elizabeth Elliot's Gateway to Joy radio program. The letter said, "Elizabeth is considering retiring from radio, and we've been praying about the possibility of starting a successor program with a different voice, and wondered if you would pray and talk with us about that possibility." Well, my heart almost stopped beating, not because I had any aspirations to be Elizabeth Elliot, but precisely because I knew no one else could be Elizabeth Elliot. There was no other Elizabeth Elliot, and likely never will be. So I was in my early 40s, and I'd been greatly influenced by Elizabeth's books, had not heard her radio program so much, but had read a lot of her books, most of them probably, and had heard her speak on a number of occasions, had met her on an instance or two. And she had actually written the foreword for Lies Women Believe, which I was so grateful she would do that and help get that message out. So I had been greatly influenced by her ministry. And in fact, for the previous year or two, I had been thinking about what would happen when Elizabeth Elliot passed off the scene, as I knew sooner or later would happen. I didn't know how many more years the Lord would give her, but I had been asking myself, how is that heartbeat and mission and message going to continue to be conveyed to the next generation? And I've been talking with some other women, putting out feelers and actually kind of looking for the next Elizabeth Elliot, so to speak, not thinking at all that I would. It was the furthest thing from my mind that I might be doing a daily radio program. I could not have fathomed that at the time. But I'd been looking around and just keeping my ear to the ground and thinking, how can this message be perpetuated after Elizabeth is off the air or no longer here on this earth? And so when I received that letter asking if I would consider developing a program for women that would follow Gateway to Joy, it almost took my breath away, not because I felt I was in any sense qualified, but just thinking about the huge responsibility that it would be to embark on such an undertaking at all, much less to follow in the steps of Elizabeth Elliot. I remember the day I received that letter from the director of Back to the Bible. I actually had been on vacation for a week, and I got home late one night, and my mail was stacked on my living room floor, and I actually sat down on the floor to open my mail, and that letter was there. And I opened it and read it, actually had been talking for months leading up to that time with Family Life Ministries about starting a radio program for women. So we were in that dialogue, in that process at that point. But the people at Back to the Bible didn't know that. And when they said, Elizabeth Elliott is considering retiring from radio and we're looking for a successor to that program, would you want to talk with us? I remember taking that letter and going up to my quiet time chair in my study, laying the letter on the chair, and then kneeling there, just placing that letter before the Lord and saying, Lord, I don't have any idea what you're up to, what you may be saying or doing. This is all new to me. But whatever you want, just show it to me, and that's what I want. Over the next several months, there were a lot of meetings, a lot of discussion, a lot of prayer and seeking the Lord on my part, along with godly counsel. But when it came to whether this was something I should step into, it came down to the life message that I had learned from Elizabeth Elliott, and that is trust and obey. I had so many doubts and fears and thoughts about why I couldn't do this kind of ministry. Didn't all relate to Elizabeth Elliott. It's just coming up with new material every day. It just seemed way out of my comfort zone, way out of my skill set. And my first issue was trust, that if God wanted me to do this, then as he had enabled Elizabeth all those years, he could enable me. And then it became an issue of surrender, obedience. If this is what God wants me to do, and believing that he can enable me, then am I willing to wave that white flag and say, yes, Lord? I knew it would be hard. I didn't know how hard, but I knew it would be really hard. But Elizabeth Elliott, among others, had taught me that you can't go wrong on the pathway of trust and obedience. And that's really what it came down to for me in that journey of deciding to pick up the mantle and start Revive Our Hearts. Several months before the transition was made from Gateway to Joy to Revive Our Hearts, I had the privilege for being in the studio with Elizabeth Elliott for a day and with Lisa Berry, who was the announcer for Gateway to Joy for many years. And the three of us had a chance to talk about some of the things that were on our hearts. And I'd be less than honest if I didn't say that there was some degree of nervousness and my stomach being a bit in knots that day because of the wisdom and the experience and the spiritual depth that I knew Elizabeth Elliott brought to the table. And yet, again, it was an opportunity for me to be reminded that we all have feet of clay. We're all human, myself as well, and that, you know, what counts in ministry, what makes us fruitful or effective is not how smart we are or how gifted, talented, capable, adequate. None of us is adequate. But what we do in ministry, what we sought to do that day, is to point people to Christ, to get them into the Word, to share out of our own personal journey with Christ and His Word. And I'm so thankful that we had the opportunity to record several programs that day, which then aired the end of August of 2001, in the last couple of weeks of Gateway to Joy being on the air, just before the Labor Day, September 3rd of 2001, when Revive Our Hearts went on the air. And I look back on that as a really unique and special opportunity to have been in proximity to a woman who touched my life in such a significant way, and in a sense, to receive from the Lord a baton of faith that I have felt a huge sense of responsibility to pass on to this next generation of listeners. In those early days of Revive Our Hearts, I remember having such a struggle with the sense of comparison, not from Elizabeth Elliott, but from many of her listeners, and realizing there was no way I could fill that woman's shoes. She had huge shoes. And actually, I've met a number of women over the years who've come up to me and said, I need to apologize to you because I didn't like you when you first went on the air because you were replacing Elizabeth Elliott. And people will say, we hated it when she went off the air. We so missed her. And I was thinking, yeah, I missed her too. And I had to wrestle with the fact that I knew I couldn't fill that place. And the Lord had to graciously help me, remind me that I wasn't called to be Elizabeth Elliot. And I wasn't to compare myself to her. My story was different. My gifts are different. But we have the same Christ, the same scripture, the same heartbeat. And then I was to operate within the grace God gave me and the gifts he gave me and let Elizabeth Elliot have her influence and not worry about whether mine would fall short of hers. I will say that it's been a huge privilege to minister through Revive Our Hearts in what is a legacy ministry. I have a sense that we stand on the shoulders, so to speak, of Elizabeth Elliot and Gateway to Joy. And it's a privilege because I've met women all over this country, many of them over the years, who've told me of the impact that Elizabeth Elliot, her Gateway to Joy program, her books, had in their lives. And many of them grew up listening to her as teenagers, as young women. She shaped their view of womanhood, of God, of the gospel, of Christianity. And they were discipled and nurtured by a woman that most of them never met, but they felt like they knew her. They felt like she was the spiritual mother in many cases that they had never had. Many women actually said that. And so as we started ministering through Revive Our Hearts, we were speaking to many women whose hearts had already been prepared and the ground had been tilled and the seeds had been planted and women were already progressing well in their spiritual life. And the Lord has allowed us in some of those women's lives to come along and encourage them in a new season of life and continue in a ministry of pointing them to Christ and pointing them to His Word. Most of us who've been influenced by Elizabeth Elliot knew her or knew of her in her older years. Remember, she didn't start Gateway to Joy radio program until she was 63 years of age. And so it's easy to look at a person in their prime of life, in their seasoned stage of life, where they've had many years of track record of God proving himself to be faithful and walking with him and making choices to walk with him. And we can look at our lives, those of us who are younger, and think, that's unattainable to get to that place where I could trust and obey the Lord in that way. And I just want to remind us that Elizabeth Elliot was once young. She was once a girl. She was once a teenager. She was once a college student in love with a young man who was making up his mind very slowly, Jim Elliot, that is, as to whether he was to marry Elizabeth. And she made one choice after another in those younger years of her life, as a young woman, as a young widow with a little girl, faced with the loss of her missionary husband. What was she to do? How was she to respond? Each of those moments was one choice where she had to lift her eyes up the same way we do and say, Lord, show me what to do and give me grace to put the next foot forward. That was hard for her at times. It's hard for us at times. And I'm sure that she didn't always respond in just the way she had wished. She was human, so she had failures at times just as we do. But she learned to get to God for his grace. She learned to trust him as he proved himself trustworthy in one situation after another. And I think the mistake is to look at a life like Elizabeth Elliot's and just look at the whole bigger-than-life person and think this is somebody who's like in some other stratosphere, and to forget that their life comprised many, many choices to get to know God, to cry out to him for grace, to do the next thing, as Elizabeth Elliot often reminded us, and that the big picture of their life was the sum total of many, many little choices to say, yes, Lord. And so that's a challenge to me today as I face little choices. What do I do with my time? How do I respond to this disappointment or loss? And that's where thinking about a sister and friend and fellow servant like Elizabeth Elliot helps to point me in the right direction. Because I remember when she sat there in the jungles of Ecuador and learned that her husband wasn't coming back. She did the next thing, put the next foot forward, lifted her eyes to heaven, and found God's grace to keep pressing on. And she never considered herself heroic or special or extraordinary. She was, as we look at her, because so few people make those choices. But I would like to say that that could be true of all of us. Could be true of each of us, that when the story of our life is told, for each of us, it could be a story of people pointing to us and saying, she trusted and she obeyed. It brings to mind that verse in Hebrews chapter 13, verse 7, that says, "Remember your leaders, those who spoke to you the word of God." And I certainly would put Elizabeth Elliot in the category of someone who spoke to many of us the word of God. Then it says, "Consider the outcome of their way of life and imitate their faith." So that's saying, by God's grace, this is doable for all of us. Not just for those who are famous, leaders, celebrities, but we can look at the outcome of their way of life and by God's grace can imitate their faith. It doesn't mean the narrative of our lives will be anything like theirs. Our lives may be much simpler, much more behind the scenes, but we can still, in our little corner of the world, imitate their faith in Christ, who that same passage says is the same yesterday, today, and forever.
That's Nancy Lee DeMoss challenging all of us to do what Elizabeth Elliot did, to say, "Yes, Lord," to whatever He's calling you to do, to be faithful and trust the results to Him. If you'd like to learn more from the example of Elizabeth Elliot, I hope you'll visit reviveourhearts.com. You'll find a webpage devoted to her life, and you can watch many of the tributes you heard today on video. Again, that's at reviveourhearts.com. Well, does it seem to you like the world is getting louder and louder? In the middle of the clamor, you can learn how to have a quiet heart. We'll look together at God's Word and see how to develop that kind of God-given quiet heart. We'll start that series Monday here on Revive Our Hearts. Revive Our Hearts with Nancy Lee DeMoss is an outreach of Life Action Ministries.